Let's go follow. So the Rosh says, "A tarba ladabra the bedvarim hamoilin v'lo nezik." Things which are good, there's no damage to them, but there's no need. They're totally rishus. And even those things, you should try and minimize your conversation about that. Chofetz Chaim has an interesting nusach. He writes Shmiz Loshon in one place. He says that he's a big advocate of minimizing your speech, just because the more you talk, the more chance you're eventually going to say something that you shouldn't say, etc. He says, but if a person is inclined towards marashkara, towards depression, and he needs to talk, so you have to work in other ways to maintain your Shmir Zalash. But he has that nusach that, you know, there's some people who need to talk. They this rush is not going to work for them. They push it, need to talk. I have a close friend who makes me look very stoic and very, very quiet. He was learning in the mirror, and he decided he talks too much. Which, that's probably the first person ever told him that. He decided, you know, he talks too much. So he decided he's going to start making a tiny steeper. So one day, 2 days, and by the third day, the person, he was like emotionally like wiped out. Like, you know, he wasn't doing any talking. And he's just like, that's so much who he is. So the Mashkiach over there, Ron Chodesh, is a very, very, very astute person. He walks by and he says his name. He says, "Noizu Adach." Like three words. This is not what works for you. This is not the right thing for you. This idea, like, you know, this Tanis Deber thing, it works for certain people. For you, it's not going to work. Like, yeah, you're going to have to find a different way of doing it. This is a person who has a tremendous crisis. The Chofetz Chaim himself, Rashi was told him, when the told us this, Chofetz Chaim himself was a tremendous dabrun. He constantly was speaking. He was constantly talking. He was always connected. I talked to the Chassanim. I said, you know, the fascinating thing, test kabbashal, you're kabbashal sechel yard deloyalim, test not la noshim. There's a second gear in the Gemara, it says, test not the bachar and yeshiva. Like, you know, you put X on a woman in a room, you get this, like, you know, the sounds like push, it's like a hen house, you know. Bachar are very, very much rival that ability, that they can give the women a run for their money. If you yechidim, not like that. The kayach of speech is a tremendously powerful thing. Chazal have a tremendous hakpeda to mimayat dibur. Chazal talk about being al tarba sicha meisha, etc. He says, you physically, you emotionally touch a person through dibur. It's a form of touching. You connect to somebody through talking to them. That's the kayach of speech. That's why it's a tremendously powerful thing. That you can connect to somebody else by the fact that you converse and you make a connection to them. You don't converse, you don't connect. Now, when you might have a madrega, but the connection is so strong, there's no need to talk. Rahama Shane has a story in I think it's an offer of the boss, one of her books, I think it's an offer of the boss, that after she was engaged, so they were traveling somewhere, and so she was sitting next to her chassid on the bus, and her parents were sitting like, not right next to each other. So she said to her mother, like jokingly, she said, you know, my chassan and I, Moshe and I, are closer to each other than you are, you and the papa. So her mother answered, her father answered, he says, we could be in two ends of the world and we're still closer than you are right now. There's a connection when you make with somebody which is so strong that you don't have to necessarily talk to them to make the connection. But in the process of developing a connection with somebody, yes, Deber is very, very effective. So Chazal said, I'll tell you about Isha, because it's a way to connect. We don't want you connecting with, X, you know, whoever that is. So it's a very, very powerful thing. The point is so much of the point of the rush is don't waste it. It's such a powerful thing. You can use it so effectively and in such a positive tool. So you don't waste it. Understand that the nature of most things is the more limited it is, the more precious it is. The more available it is, the less precious it is. You know, many people will tell you they're motivated to get into brisk. Why? Because you can't get into brisk. I make yeshiva, which has an open policy, so mehechatas, I want to go there. But yeshiva make a limited policy, you want to go there. Why? Because once it's limited, it's more valuable. Right? That's part of the value is you can do that, you can artificially do that, which is illegally gaming the system, and it's illegal in the economy to limit supplies of something to force the prices to go up. Right? The Saudi Arabia, you know, they do it all the time, you know. Stop, cut down all production, and the price goes up. Supply and demand. If it's limited, it's more value. So the point that Russia is saying is appreciate the value of deeper. It's a phenomenally powerful thing. And because it's so powerful, I had myself once. I was came home. This is back in Tel Aviv still, and. I met an older friend of mine in the Mikra Erev Shabbos, and smiled at each other and said, good Erev Shabbos, and that was the end of the conversation. I came home, I told my wife, I said, I had a phenomenal experience in the Mikra today. I saw so-and-so there, and I had nothing intelligent I wanted to share with him, and he had nothing intelligent I wanted to share with me, so we didn't say anything. Some people feel like there's a need to fill up this, you know, it's uncomfortable silence. It was a very comfortable silence. I'm friends with him, he's friends with me. We're both happy to be there at the same time. It was nice to be there with him. And nothing I wanted to fill him in on, or vice versa. So we didn't talk. You know, I think my wife was like very small from the Maisa that there's actually an ability of a human being to not talk. Just be together. Just enjoy being with somebody without talking. You know, now I'm the quietest guy in the world. So like it's like one time this experience happened to me. Don't worry, it doesn't happen all the time. But the point I'm saying is that it is. If you want to open your mouth and share words of connecting, etc. I think I told you the Maisa. Tells the Shiva was very machped on Seder, both Seder and Nichoyen, but I mean being in Seder. There's no such thing as going to the door middle of Seder. I mean, just like that was not a smart move. You know, the Mashgiach would check the dorms during Seder a few times to see if guys were there. Not every day, but you know, once in a while he would check. You know, and it wasn't necessarily the most pleasant experience if you were found in the dorm during Seder. So Seder went till I don't remember exactly the times, but you know, Seder. I think Shir was. One, it was 12:30, Seder ended 1:30. So, I don't know, something like that. It ended 1:30, yes, yeah, so 12:30 was Shir. 12:35, whatever, like I went into the coat room to get some paper, right, you know, whatever. So as I walk in, I see one of the older rebbeim standing there, and I see a bucher coming back from the dorm with holding two oranges. So I was going to observe how this interface is going to take place. So, in my mind, I said, you know, there's three options what's going to happen. Four options. He can say something strong to him about going to Seder, dorm during Seder. He can not say anything at all. He can make a joke to indicate that I noticed you, you know. You didn't bring me an orange, you know. So, I'm not missing you out right now, but I noticed. You should be aware that I noticed. And he didn't do any of those three. He said, that was so sweet of you to bring an orange to somebody else also. That's all he said. And I was blown away by the Maisa. The guy felt good. The Rebbe noticed him. The Rebbe could have said something to him. The Rebbe chose at this moment not to focus on what he did wrong, the infraction, but to focus on the fact that he was a sensitive person and cared about somebody else. At some point in time in the future, he's going to talk to him about the fact they don't go to Seder, during the Seder. But right now, he wanted to bring out something positive about the bucher, and it was such a powerful usage of speech. He meant the guy felt like a million bucks. The guy smiled, like a big smile. I was caught in the act of doing something wrong, and instead, I said, you know, I think the biggest problem with Lashon Hara is not Lashon Hara. It's such a wasted opportunity of Lashon Tov. If that's what speech can do, you make a guy feel so good. Like why do you want to waste it by Lashon Hara? That's the stupidest thing in the world. I think that's the problem. You know, a lot of these Lashon Hara programs, I think they could do much better if we stress how valuable and how powerful and how much good you can accomplish with speaking. Speech is such a, it connects, it explains, it impacts, it does so much. Like, why do you want to waste it? So that's the message I would take out of the rush for ourselves. We're not holding necessarily, you know, this curse of lush, and you have you heed him, like, you know. There's some people should tend to be more on the quiet side. And that's, you know, that works for them, you know. But there's people which, that's not, I think most of American society, we're raised in American society, we have the Muslim of just being quiet. Just like, it's not on our radar screen. But to use, be available, be aware that speech is something which is valuable, and that's why you might want to limit it. But when you do use it, try and use it as effectively as possible, in a positive way. I think that's a very, very powerful lesson that we can take out of the rush. Thank you.